Arjuna Vishada Yoga, a very beautiful name. At the end of each chapter, you see a nice statement of ending that chapter is presented, that iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita su, thus in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad su, Bhagavad Gita is called here Upanishad. And Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastre, how is this? This is Brahma Vidya and Yoga Shastra, means the knowledge and technology together, knowledge and its practical application together. Brahma Vidya is the knowledge of the Supreme, and Yoga Shastra is how to practically apply, manifest this knowledge in every walk of life. This knowledge must illumine the life. What is the extent of our knowledge is gauged by how much we can really put into practice. That much is really our knowledge. Other is the information that we are just carrying without utilizing. It is just a big burden. The information that we carry without actually applying it in our own lives. What happens to that information? It is a big burden. We carry that burden. It is never used by us. So, although this Brahma Vidya is itself a technology, yet it has been specified here that to show that it is not theoretical knowledge, but the knowledge that practically gets implemented in life, then only it is really the knowledge that one is seeking. So Yoga Shastra, that is called Yoga, that you become joined with this knowledge. Yoga means to join. You now become joined with this knowledge, and thus the knowledge manifests in your life. And then Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade, this is the dialogue between Shri Krishna and Arjuna, the ideal disciple and ideal teacher. When they come together, then the knowledge is the result. Knowledge comes forth. Knowledge starts flowing. In Taittiriya Upanishad, this is a beautiful description how the knowledge functions, how knowledge manifests, how we see the flow of knowledge. It says there that here I describe now the process of learning, how learning takes place. Athadhi vidyam. The one end of it is the teacher. Acharya purva rupam. Other end is the student. Ante vasi uttara rupam. What connects them? Vidya sandhihi. A learning process connects them. And how it functions? Pravachana gam sandhanam pravachana. Talk of the teacher to the student, the expression of the teacher to the student. Here, talk doesn't always mean that talking by mouth or the loud words that come. That a teacher need not utter words. Sometimes it is said that the highest truths are transformed transmitted through silence. Silence transmits the truth. It is without any utterance the knowledge flows. But this is how the process is told, that the ideal teacher, ideal student, there is a receiver, there is a transmitter. Like you have the TV transmitter and TV receiver. Then, if only one is there, it is not really of any use, you know. If there is only transmitter, but there are no TV receivers anywhere, then for whom it is transmitted? And if there is only a TV receiver, but nothing is transmitted, then that also is useless. So both actually take manufactures kind of simultaneously. One invention is together with the other invention. So they both presuppose the existence of each other. So teacher and the student is that kind of a relation. Why it is reminded here is that we have to become student, the receiver. The teacher is there. The Bhagavad Gita is being given by Shri Krishna. And we have to attune ourselves to Arjuna. A very nice statement is told in one of the commentaries that why we need to become Arjuna. It is said that if there is a very big party thrown by the king, and then of course in that party a lot of delicacies are served. Now, a very poor man is normally doesn't get to eat all those things. But suppose somehow he joins that party, he somehow gets entry into that party, then because of his entry into the party, whatever the king is getting to eat, he also gets to eat. So he becomes now, in a way, from that point of view, at par with the king. So, we also, if we join this party of being given actually to Arjuna, but if we join hands with Arjuna, if we invite ourselves to this party of Arjuna, then we also will get the same thing. So, that is how it is important to attune ourselves to Arjuna. Because at this level, this truth is given. When we come to that level, we get it. So, Arjuna's condition therefore has to be examined here. And the name of this chapter is Vishada Yoga, the yoga through grief, or this word is very difficult to translate exactly. It is a combination of depression, grief, despondency and some similar feelings, similar emotions, that it is a place where one is terribly distressed. So, cannot know what to do, and it is not just a passive state, but it is terrible suffering inside. It is burning the vitals inside. It is such a state of terrible grief and despondency, depression, that Arjuna finds himself and is now not saying a word. He just has fallen into the chariot. Shokasam vignamanasaha. Sanjaya describes his state that his mind is shokasam vigna, is immersed deeply in terrible grief. But Vedanta teaches us that everything that comes in our life can be given a positive turn. This grief can also become a great teacher in life. This grief, this despondency can become instrument in turning our life in right direction. When the grief comes, that makes you stop and think. That makes you wonder that was what you were doing, was it right? So, that brings a change in thinking. Sometimes a very drastic change is brought in life through grief. And therefore, God has kept a big supply of grief in this world. And God is very gracious. So, it is very important that we get such lessons. You know, without grief, we won't get them. Without this state, we won't get them. We will keep on thinking, wow, whatever we are doing is fine, right, excellent, no need to rethink. But when this obstacle comes, we stop, think. That makes us, you know, reevaluate the whole process. And that is how Arjuna comes now to seek the truth from God. Because of this terrible grief, so Vishada Yoga means yoga through Vishada. Yoga through grief. This yoga, everything has to be turned towards the ultimate goal of life. So when grief is turned towards the goal of life, it is yoga through grief. Grief comes in everybody's life. Who is in this world, who lived in this world without a moment of grief? If ever anybody is like that, he should be considered terribly unfortunate. But almost all of us have moments of grief in our life. Lot of sufferings, terrible bouts of depression. They are there in modern society, they were there in the ancient society. The growth of science doesn't stop that. The growth of science doesn't remove the people getting or feeling depressed. It brings many different, you see, the implements, instruments to bring happiness, so-called pleasures in life. But they actually fail to remove this particular problem. So, it is, grief comes to everybody's life. The question is, how many of us use this grief to make it an instrument for our God realization or reaching the goal of life? This grief can be converted into that. So this is an important lesson here, that when the grief comes, let us turn it into the instrument of realizing the truth, experiencing the truth. That can be done. And that is, here we see in Bhagavad Gita, the grief-stricken Arjuna sitting despondently in the chariot. That is how he has been described. So, looking for some words of Sri Krishna, some encouragement. He actually is thinking that Sri Krishna will agree with him and that will give him a solace. Yes, yes, Arjuna, you are right. Let us withdraw from this war. Your decision seems to be very correct. If we don't get any kingdom, that's fine. Even if we have to beg our food, that also is fine. And even if they kill us, seeing that we are powerless, are not going to fight, that also is fine. He was expecting Sri Krishna to just reinforce his position. And if we are seeking just consolations in life, but not lessons, and getting consolation from the friends and the society around isn't that difficult. But that does not make us progress on the right path. The consolation is one thing, getting lesson is another thing. It is, once what happened, I got in my examination very few marks. And then the teacher who had evaluated, I went to him. I was not feeling happy that I got such a... So the teacher looked at my answer book and then said, well, whatever I have given, I think it is proper. I have evaluated it. So because you have not done according to the expectations, you have not done well. But if you, this is my opinion about what you have written. But if you want consolation, how many marks do you want? I will put that many. If you want 100 out of 100, I will do that also, if that is going to help you. Then I realized my folly, that it is, I have to learn the lesson. I have to improve myself. Examination is for that, to know where I am. So, it is not just feeling a false satisfaction that what I do is right, what I am doing is nice, that is not right. It is, one of my friends gave me a very good lesson, and I remember it even now, and I hope that I will never forget it. In my college students' days, I wasn't doing as well as I used to expect. That I used to think that, well, I should get much higher grades and higher marks, and I used to then blame this on various other things, that I should have gotten this, but because of this or because of that and because of that, I kept on blaming others, and that didn't solve the problem. Because blaming others is just a way out, that is an escape, that you console yourself, that well, everything was right from your side, but something in the circumstances, maybe your professor wasn't happy with you, or because some of your colleagues, they didn't help you at the right time, or because you were not feeling well on that particular day of exam, you find so many excuses to blame things on circumstances. So once when I was very sad because the results were not as good as I expected. They were okay, but not my expectations used to be very high then. So it is. And then some people started telling me, giving me consolations, you know, it doesn't matter, you know what, next time you will do better, maybe, or such things keep on happening. They were trying to console me. But one friend of mine, he said, well, let me tell you the truth, that you are very intelligent, no doubt. You are very intelligent, no doubt. But you are not as intelligent or as bright as you think you are. And then, yes, that was a medication that was needed. And then that changed the perspective, that changed the situation. Yes, you have to find out that where you are wrong. Don't keep on looking for consolations in the world. Pat on the back. Oh no, you are nice, you are good, and all those that stuff. There are many good things can be achieved by getting some strong, powerful lessons in life, even if they are not very palatable to begin with. So, Arjuna is looking at Shri Krishna. And Shri Krishna started telling that Sanjaya describes that state, that how the statement started. Sanjaya uvacha तम तथा कृपयाविष्टं अश्रुपूर्णाकुलेक्षणं विशीदन्तमिदं वाक्यं उवाच मधुसूदन. To him, thus overcome with pity and grieving, with eyes filled with tears and agitated, this is the condition of Arjuna. He was agitated. Eyes were filled with tears and overcome with pity and grief. To such Arjuna, now Sri Krishna starts telling. And what does he tell? According to Swami Vivekananda, these two verses that Sri Krishna speaks is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The most important verses according to him. Those students of philosophy will of course differ. They would say that this doesn't contain any specific philosophical truth. This doesn't contain those ideas, cornerstone to Vedanta, that the world is false and the Brahman is real. Those ideas which follow later in Bhagavad Gita, they are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Or those ideas where Sri Krishna tells that surrender everything to me, O Lord, that is the essential part of Bhagavad Gita, most important verse. Why Swami Vivekananda says that these are the most essential cardinal verses of Bhagavad Gita is from a practical standpoint. Let us read these verses and see what Swami Vivekananda has to say about it. Actually, it is quite a long passage. I won't be reading you that passage. I will leave it to you to read that passage from Swami Vivekananda's Thoughts on Gita. There is a book also, Thoughts on Gita, and also you will find them in the complete works of Swami Vivekananda. These verses are Kutastva Kashmalamidam Vishame Samupasthitam Anarya Yushtam Asvargyam Akirtikaram Arjuna Klaibhyam Asmagama Partha Naitatvai Upapadyate Kshudram Hridaya Daurbalyam Tyakto Tishtha Parantapa. When so Arjuna has this weakness, not entertained by honorable men, nor conducive to the attainment of heaven, and leading to ill fame, come on you at this crisis. Yield not to unmanliness. O Partha, it is not worthy of you. Shaking off this mean faint-heartedness, arise, O scorcher of foes. The first thing required in this moment of psychological depression, Arjuna has fallen from that point of view in a big abyss. And first thing was to arouse his self-confidence, to make him aware that, look, there is tremendous strength in you. Have you forgotten that? Call upon that. Shrug off this terrible weakness. Don't support this weakness. Just throw it out. This doesn't become you. You are not this. You are the storehouse of infinite power. They, each of us have this spark of divinity in us. When we appeal to that, the power comes, the enthusiasm comes, and then we start working in right direction. These words are very strong words. Arjuna is being scolded, calling him a chicken-hearted. See, for a person, if you call an ordinary person chicken-hearted, that fellow will feel bad. But a person, a warrior of such repute like Arjuna, if somebody calls him chicken-hearted, that is a terrible insult. Not only that, this word in Sanskrit has many connotations. It means unmanliness. It literally translated, it means a eunuch. Arjuna is being called eunuch not for any sexual orientation or anything. This is that, it means that you do not have any strength in you. You are coward. You are chicken hearted. You are running away. You are taking this, you are just an imbecile. So, this kind of words, all this is condensed in this word, klaibhyam. So, this is a very big blow to Arjuna. And Sri Krishna tells, this doesn't become you. Where from? In this moment of crisis, in this terrible crisis, where from this terrible weakness has overtaken you? This doesn't become great people, this doesn't become a hero like you. And this, what does it lead to? This will make you just infamous in the world. This doesn't lead to akirtikara. You will be just laughed at by people. That here is, before the war, the fellow was just shouting. It is sending messages to us that we will see you in the war and we will kill you and you will become targets of my arrows. What happened to all this? See, this coward just ran away when the time of war came. So, it is, Sri Krishna was reminding Arjuna that this is what awaits you. You have not done your duty. And that means your conscience is going to prick you. You are not going to go to heaven. This is something Sri Krishna is really giving big blows to Arjuna. Says that klaibhyam masma gama partha arise. You don't give this kind of place in life to such chicken-heartedness. One has to become, call forth our hidden strength. That is accepting, taking up the challenge. The challenge comes to us, and in the hands of the challenge is the opportunity. If we run away from the challenge, a big opportunity is missed. If we are cowards, then we are the losers. It is not that somebody else loses thereby, it is we who are the losers by running away in the face of challenging situations. If we take up the challenges, then we are rewarded too. Yes, here is, you take up the opportunity and make most of that opportunity. It is but yielding to the weakness and cowardice and that sense of inertia. What happens is, one succumbs to that kind of namby-pamby existence. It is not really worth the being called a human. There you are not striving to realize your potential. We are all basically divine. So that is what Swami Vivekananda says, that Vedanta first tells you to believe in yourself. His words may sound blasphemous to some, but in fact these are the words that can arouse our inner self that wants to progress. He says that earlier people used to say that that person is atheist who does not believe in this God or that God, but this new religion says that if you don't believe in yourself, then you are an atheist. Believe in yourself. First have faith in yourself. Faith in God will come later. This many of us do not realize this contradiction. that if we say that we have faith in God but do not have faith in ourselves, then what is the value of my saying that I have faith in God? The one who is saying has no faith in oneself, you say. So what is the value of saying that I have faith in God? If a liar, one who says that I am a liar, and then says that what I say is truth, it is meaningless. You see, you are a liar. How can you can I take your statement at face value? So our talk of having faith in God and all is really meaningless unless we have this faith in ourselves. Faith in ourselves is what we really need in becoming dynamically religious. Otherwise, that kind of passively being religious has been, we are practicing it for thousands and thousands of years in society. That is a society religion. Go into the church and or go into the temple and then just pray a little bit and just come back thinking that, well, let the there be no problem for me in life, no calamity may come to my life, and that's all. The religion, therefore, is really not dynamic here. It is a static religion. The religion, when becomes dynamic in one's life, then the progress begins. The life starts getting transformed. And the key condition for that is this tremendous self-confidence. We have the strength to break through all obstacles in life. What we need is self-confidence. There is a very beautiful story in Ramayana, the epic Ramayana, that Rama and his associates, all those monkeys, and they had found out where the Sita who was stolen by Ravana is. They had found out that this Sita should be there, but who would go and confirm? Who has the strength to jump over this sea and go to that island of Lanka? They were standing on the seashore. One of them said, his name was Jambavan, he said, well, now in my youth I would have done it, now I am too old. This is the mentality, you know, people who keep on telling the glories of the past. That is, what is the use of it now? Now I have become old. In my younger days I could have done it, not now. There was other Angada. He said, I can go maybe, but I don't think I'll be able to come back. So that option also was ruled out. And that is the mentality, said that halfway mentality. Don't want to do the job completely. Just do half, and that is... So that mentality is described there. The Hanumana was kind of sitting quiet there. And somebody remembered, oh, this Hanumana, you know, he has the strength, but he has forgotten it. He alone has that strength. In his image, almost after his birth, when he was just a small child, he jumped right up to the sun. After birth, he saw the morning sun coming up and thought that it is a nice fruit, and just jumped towards the sun to grab it. So he has that strength. But because he should not be doing all such daredevil things, And he was the gods, they made him forget of his strength. Now is the time to remind him of his strength. And then they reminded Hanumana, oh, you can do it, you know, you can do it. And then he remembered, yes, there is the storehouse of strength in me, call forth. And then, connected with that strength, he just jumped over. All of us have this sleeping Hanuman in us, this sleeping storehouse of strength in us. It is just potential, coiled, what is technically called kundalini, you know. It is, this word is very much misunderstood, very much misused also. Kundala means it is just coiled up. The coiled up energy, it is to be opened up. We are all storehouse of infinite energy. We all have it. We have to just connect to it. That is the first thing necessary to make ourselves progress towards the goal. The faith in God, what is the nature of God, all those metaphysical and theological questions, they will come later. They are not that important. As important is this particular idea, arouse this self-confidence in us. So, Sri Krishna does that look at this tremendous strength that you have. Connect to yourself. You can win this war. This is what your duty is. You are a strong man. Where from? How this cowardice has come to you? Just brush it off. Many times the thoughts of something wrong that we might have done keep on assailing us and make us depressed. That the sense of guilt, many people come and express that, well, they are not able to get rid of this, some sense of guilt that keeps on eating into their vital. And don't keep on pondering over it. I was told by one Swami, and that is the best advice, don't think about it. Just as if you saw in the evening, suppose you saw a cricket sitting on your shirt. What do? You keep on thinking of where it came from and what is it, and well, you just brush it off, that's all. That is, you don't have to worry about it. That it is not going to be of any big harm to you. So, whenever such thoughts come, just brush it off from the shirt. Just brush it off. And don't keep on thinking, why I did it and how I did it and it is very bad now. That harboring that kind of sense is very, very detrimental to our progress. Maybe we have committed 1,000 mistakes. What does it mean? Does it mean that I should commit another mistake? It makes no sense, you see. If we keep on thinking about it, that is another mistake that we are making. We are adding to the dirt that is already smeared to us. Yes, one more, little more dirt is being added by thinking about it. It is not the right thing to do. Don't ever think about it again. Think of the divine nature. We are all potentially divine. Arouse this thought. This is the most important teaching, therefore, of Vedanta. That is where the Vedanta then can become practically meaningful in our life. Otherwise, it is just for the discussions in the classrooms and like in the classes on the universities on Hindu philosophy and all that, whether Hindu philosophy accepts 5 elements or 6 elements or 3 elements, and how many layers do they say, 5 or 3 or 6. What does it matter, you see? That is, they are all the discussions which are not meaningful at all unless this self-confidence is aroused. Yes, I want to achieve the goal. Let the hearts be filled with this immense self-confidence. I can do it and make us do it. Swami Vivekananda says, tells the story of many foreigners. He specifically mentions, because that was the thing current then, that many Armenians used to come to US persecuted in their own country. And then when they came, they were all depressed, despondent, because they were told in their country that you are useless, you can't do anything, you are a wretch, get out. And just this thought, with this thought they came, persecuted, no place to go, somehow they came here, and they found the words of encouragement here. And that is, this land has that great advantage, you see. That yes, here they were told, you are as good a human being as we are. Come on! And then, knowing this, and those people did great things in life. So, this is what is needed, this confidence in oneself. And thus the strength will start flowing in and through our nervous system. That unless it is connected to that source of strength, it won't happen. If these bulbs and all are not connected to the source of electricity, they won't shine. Even if we keep on looking at them for hours and hours, days and days, they won't shine. If we keep on changing them one after another, they won't shine. What is needed is to connect them to the source. And that source is right within us. Swami Vivekananda wrote a beautiful poem to his disciples and brother disciples. Those they were feeling, Swamiji had told that you have this great work before you, come on! All of you join shoulders and then let us all come together to do these great things. And they were worried, you know, we are so few and the society is trying to suppress us from all directions. Where shall we get strength and all that? Swamiji wrote to them, all strength is within you. And a very famous lines he composed in Sanskrit in that at the end of that letter, Kinnam Rudishi Sakhe Tvai Sarva Shakti, in whose name you silly fellow are crying, all power is within you, Tvai Sarva Shakti. All the source of all power, divinity, is your very nature. We are all potentially divine. Potentially means there is this divinity as our real nature. This is a covering, that's all. What we need to do is just to throw off this covering and look at the source. Throw off doesn't mean that so let us commit suicide. It is not that killing the body is not throwing off the covering. It is connecting to the source. Instead of connecting to the this outer shell, let us connect to the substance. Like when you want eat cookies from a cookie box, what you do, connect yourself to the substance inside rather than the covering outside. Similarly, this changing body is just a covering. Connect yourself to the a source of inner strength, the divinity within. He says, Amantrayasva Bhagavan Bhagadam Swarupam Trailokya Meta Dakhilam Tavapadamule Atmaiva hi prabhavate na jadah kadachit. He says that when you connect yourself to that source, you will see that the whole universe is at your feet. Because he gives the reason to that, you know. It is not just the idea, some big poetic, nice idea to think about, but it is truth. He says it is the consciousness. The consciousness prevails over the matter. It is the inner power that will prevail over the world. The world has no power of its own except what we give it. We give power to the world. It is like going into that mirror house, you know. Some of you must have gone in many fairs and all, and you see those mirror houses where you go in and then you see very scary faces. It is because the mirrors are such that your own face appears to be very scary, like a big demon is standing there. And if you are scared of those figures, whose are those figures? Who is giving them strength? Well, you alone are there, there is nothing else. The world, friends, is only a reflection of our inner being. It doesn't have any strength except what we give it. Let us remember this truth. And this is a great truth to learn, that the world has only that much strength as much we give it. So, this is, therefore these are the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita. And really they had that effect of bringing back Arjuna's self-confidence. He was earlier thinking, saying that I am not going to fight. Now, a rethinking has begun. Now, he is seeing that Krishna is not agreeing with him. The psychological treatment, you know, in case of some very serious cases, you apply shock treatment. And the shock treatment is given for those cases, and thus that shock treatment helps that person to regain some normal functioning. So this is a shock treatment that Arjuna has been given a shock that, well, in spite of your all flowery presentation, the only drawback of your flowery presentation is that it is not true. It is all covering. It is not real at all. And Sri Krishna told him right on the face, in strongest possible terms, that made Arjuna again shake up. So let us, I will conclude today's class by reading this, what Swami Vivekananda is saying. Swami Ranganathananda in this book has dealt this subject very beautifully, giving various examples, and he has paraphrased idea of Swami Vivekananda, which itself is presented in very powerful words. Let me quote. So this attitude which Sri Krishna expressed then found a new expression in our time in Swami Vivekananda, and Swamiji loved these two verses very much. In his discourse on the Gita, he says, if you can understand the spirit of these two verses, you understand the spirit of whole Gita. This presents a strong philosophy meant to make heroes out of clay. This spirit must be captured by us. We could do so. We all read the Gita, but we did not catch the spirit of this powerful message. Now, Swami Vivekananda has come and given us the same message of strength, facing up the problems. And in this lecture on Bhagavad Gita in England and America, he referred to this particular truth in terms of his own experience. There was, he mentioned one incident in his life, very important incident, that in Benares, in most of these Indian, northern Indian cities, even now you can see lots of monkeys, you know. And those monkeys, big, big monkeys, keep on chasing people who are passing around. So on there is that there is a small narrow bridge. Even now you can see that site there, near what is that known as Sankat Mochan Hanuman Temple. So he was walking from there, and some monkeys started attacking him. And those he didn't know what to do. A very big, strong monkeys, and what a man can do. So he started, he got scared and started running. And while he, as he started, how much a man can run, the speed of monkeys after all much more. So he heard a voice from behind, an old monk was saying, "Face the brutes." And that made him stand there. And he looked at those monkeys, and then the monkeys stopped there. So face the brutes, you know, take up the challenges, bring out the strength in you, and the life will be changed. Swamiji says that this incident gave me a big lesson in life. Face the brutes, face the situation in a manly, strong manner, instead of being a coward. So now Arjuna, having been shaken, now is trying to present his case to Krishna. "But you, well, Krishna, fine, you are telling me, but do you think how can I kill these all my kith and kin? Does it not, I understand what you say, but is it not sinful to do that?" We shall try to discuss that in the next class. It is already time. Do you have any questions? Very good. So, we shall conclude with the... that means you have understood everything. No questions. So, we shall conclude with the closing prayers. And today, immediately after the class, I have to drive to Rochester. Tomorrow there is a whole day retreat, so I will all greet all of you right from here. Our one Swami used to say, when he has to do like that, that I will give you all that easy pass, you know. So wish you all the best. Gita sugita kartavya kimanyat shastra vistarai ya svayam padmanabhasya mukha padmad vinisrita ekam shastram devaki putra gitam eko devo devaki putra eva एको मंत्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्री कृष्णार्पणमस्तु।